All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday, August 19th, 2017. A little drier today and a little brighter in studio with Steve back in studio. Nothing could stop him. Flies in on the red eye. Your arms must be tired.
Oh, boy. I am just so jacked up from being at the U.S. Amateur this week, and I know later in the show we'll sort of break it down and offer our thoughts about this wonderful championship that nobody seems to know about. But you're right. Nothing would stop me from from coming in studio, that's for sure.
Well, nothing but racehorses.
Well, that's also true.
No, but it's always a pleasure to have you in studio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Looking forward to talking. We're going to be talking to the director of agronomy at Bethpage State Park, Andrew Wilson. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him.
Absolutely, especially with the changes that the PGA announced last week about the time that the PGA Championship is going to be held. It's going to be a very interesting discussion, and very anxious to hear Andrew's thoughts.
Yep, absolutely. So he's waiting on the line. We're going to get to our first break so we can spend some time with him. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, he's Steve across the table, and on the line is the Director of Agronomy at Bethpage State Park, Andrew Wilson. Andrew, how are you doing this morning?
Very good, very good. How are you guys?
Doing great. I wanted to, let's just start with a little event that happened yesterday. I mean, 2 inches in 90 minutes. I mean, that was some insane... an insane volume of water in a short amount of time. I can imagine cleanup probably is still kind of going on over there.
Yeah, we're having a big bunker party today. for most people who play the green and the black course, we have to pump out that tunnel, and there was an inch of sludge in the tunnel, and a lot of the bunkers washed. On the black course, we have some pretty good, we use this, it's called Billy Bunker.
Yeah, right.
A strange name, but that's the drainage system. So a lot of the black bunkers are pretty good,
right.
But the other courses are kind of trash. So, it's about one guy changing cups, one guy rolling greens, and another 30 guys across the park in bunkers.
I tell you, it's like, if it's not one thing, it's another. That was some, I don't know in terms of rare events or, how often things like that happen, but it was just insane. It took me, I was just going to the deli to get a coffee, and it took me 45 minutes, I felt like, to just kind of get my way around. Things like that just kind of happen, though, in your world.
Yeah, it's funny. In some ways, guys are happy because now we know we don't have to water at all. But then, all right, and now everyone's getting shovels and rakes, and we're going to have to shovel sand all day. So it's, about a half inch of rain or a quarter inch of rain, that's about perfect. And when you start getting 2 inches in an hour, no superintendent really wants to see that either.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that, I'm fascinated by talking with guys like yourself and other, golf course superintendents is that, people think that water is good and you don't have to, people think it's like a golf course is like their backyard. Oh, great. I don't have to, I can turn the sprinklers off. But, there can be a negative effect on the grass as well when there's too much water.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I think it's always, when we're watering the turf, we're always trying to water as little as possible. Granted, we sometimes there's staffing issues where we might water a little heavier just because of the staffing. But for the most part, and for the best thing of the grass, you want to keep it on the dry side. We can always add more water, but we can't really take it away. So, when the water starts piling up, it's much better. Irrigation and drainage are two of the most important things on a golf course in terms of conditioning. And it definitely can be too much water. I'm I'm sure you know, my pal Craig didn't want any want that big rain yesterday, so I'm sure he's hoping it's, you know, high and dry all week next week. So that's
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'd much rather have it dry. I think most superintendents, if you asked them if you could get, like I said, a quarter inch to a half inch of rain, maybe on Monday night and Friday night, and have the golf course open every day, that'd be, everyone would be thrilled. Everyone would be happy.
Well, okay.
That's all right. I imagine also with a storm that comes quickly, you might be concerned about tree damage or limbs falling or trees getting uprooted, and obviously that's not good. That's not good for a golf course either.
Correct. Yeah, so after the rain stopped yesterday, we had a couple of guys stick around for the afternoon and, you know, basically took a ride around, and we got, like I said, we had to pump out that one tunnel we had, and they were just kind of driving around looking for any down limbs or trees. Fortunately, we had one tree down. It was in the picnic area, so we got a couple of guys cutting that up now. So, yeah, no other damage on the course, though. It was a little messy. Sometimes you'll get pine litter or leaves. It'll just get, you know, kind of washed out of the woods to some low-lying areas, so a couple guys are blowing some fairway areas, too. But, yeah, it's just one of those things that happens. And, yeah, we're working outside, so we got to be ready for everything.
Yep, keeps life interesting. I want to talk, speaking of your buddy, Craig, we touched a little bit about it last week on the PGA's move to a new date, and just wanted to get your opinion on it. I mean, Craig sort of seemed, you know, we were just talking about how there is some benefit to it, but just your impressions of your thoughts on the move to the new date for the PGA in terms of conditioning.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy about it. I think with the greens and the black are primarily POA annua, so in May, that's at it's pretty much at its strongest in May and June. So in terms of the POA, that's great. It's a little bit before we get any real insect pressure or disease pressure, which is another plus. You know, August, the grass can get kind of tired even just from traffic. So, you know, at that time of year in early May, you know, so it'll be pretty fresh. This year, you know, I had traded a few emails with Kerry Hay in May this year, and the week before Memorial Day, which is going to be the week for the tournament, Friday and Saturday this year, that week, it was in the 80s. It was actually, you know, kind of unseasonably warm, and then the weekend, it was beautiful spring weather. I mean, 67 degrees, sunny both days. The park has sort of a late spring look. You know, the trees are about 75-80% all leafed out, but it was definitely green everywhere. It was pretty vibrant. So a typical year, that should be a good time of year. We usually don't have frost at that time of year. We're usually a little bit past any frost weather. So, yeah, we were pretty happy about it because August, you know, August can be challenging. I think one of the things, the biggest concern we have is probably winter damage. You know, I think in the 20 years I've been on the turf side of things at Bethpage, two times we've had winter damage and we've had to either seed or sod cut areas and do so. That's the main concern, is that if that happens, we're going to have a plan. You know, we have a plan in place, so we got to get on it pretty quick.
Well, that you kind of jumped the shark on me. That's exactly where I was going, because they, you know, if let's say we get a bad winter per se, let's say worst case scenario, what are the types of things that, like, let's say you have, let's say greens are under ice for a little, a good portion of time. What kind of precautions can you take to ensure that, to prevent that kind of stuff? You know, being especially that it's a big move, it's Bethpage, and, you know, nobody wants to hear about ice damage, you know what I mean? So what kind of stuff can you do to prevent that?
Yeah, there's not, I mean, honestly, when, say, similar to the rain we had yesterday, when Mother Nature wants to beat you, there's no, she's going to win. There's no
right.
challenge. There's only so much you can do. Now, there's talk of, you know, we're probably going to buy some greens covers that can help recover from damage. But most courses on Long Island, we really don't cover the greens preventatively, because the winters can be mild, and then it gets into a big a labor issue of taking the covers on and off all the time. And I think it's really just a matter, if the ice starts, you know, say if we're under ice damage for, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, then we'll start. You know, we'll have guys literally just cracking the ice on top, trying to get it off the greens, and then it gets kind of tough, because the winter damage, we had winter damage in 2015 here, and a lot of other courses on Long Island did, and it was very difficult for guys to figure out what they did. Some guys shoveled off greens and had damage. Some guys shoveled off greens and didn't have damage.
Right.
Some guys left the snow on the greens and had damage. Some guys left the snow on the greens and didn't have damage. So it's very site specific. So it's hard to, And it's one of those things, we deal with a lot of university people and, you know, in agronomy departments, you know, in Cornell and Michigan State and Penn State and all these top universities, and even they're having a hard time trying to, you know, exactly pinpoint what happens when it dies, when the POA just dies. Usually the bentgrass survives, it's the POA that dies. So I think we're just going to cross our fingers for the most part and then just be very vigilant. I mean, we're here every day, so it's really just a matter of, you know, if we have a couple of nurseries, if it comes down to that, but it's really just about being vigilant and hoping for the best.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And you're right, when Mother Nature, you know, if she wants to, she wins 100% of the time. I wanted to talk about the POA. You mentioned that in terms of it being, you know, it's maybe it being in good shape for at that time of year, but POA could be a little bumpy, especially when it first starts coming back to life. So what can you do? Well, am I wrong about that, number one? And number two, what can you do to sort of make sure that it comes back in a smooth fashion, I guess, if you will, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, usually what we'll do is going into November and December, we'll start to raise the heights up a little bit just to get a little more leaf tissue on the greens. And then basically, with the POA, there's a couple of products that are seed head suppression products that will spray on the greens, and they work pretty well. And hopefully, we're kind of in that window too, where the week before Memorial Day, we still usually have pretty good control. The past couple of years, if we had any sort of seed head breakthrough, it was almost into June. And the seed heads, they aren't like they used to be either. They're sort of these little compact little seed heads, and when we're cutting the greens at 100 or lower, it kind of takes the bumpiness out of them. I mean, we can verticut or groom the greens. There's certain, you know, mowers that you can use to help remove seed heads. But, you know, I remember when I first started, you know, and it still happens on mostly on the other courses, on the fairways. I mean, the seed heads are like these almost like flowers. And, you know, when we first started, that's what the greens would be like. And you're correct that they would be pretty bumpy. But I think we've kind of gotten a handle on them. And, you know, talking to last year, our agronomist during the Barclays, he had said, you know, when the tour players are playing at some of these other courses in the spring, that, you know, it's almost impossible to you know, control every single POA seed head. That's why they call it POA suppression and not control. But
right.
You know, so they'll play on greens. If you saw some of the tournaments this spring, I mean, there was three or four tournaments in a row where you could see POA seed heads out there. So I think the goal is just to do our best. But at the heights we're cutting at and how many times we roll them, they stay pretty smooth for these guys.
Right.
We're talking to Andrew Wilson, Director of Agronomy at Bethpage State Park. Andrew, what kind of, let's say, assistance or influence does the PGA have? Do they basically sort of leave it to you? Do they offer advice, assistance? You know, what's their involvement in getting a golf course ready for a major championship?
They're actually a lot. That's one of the highlights of working here is being able to work with some of their agronomy people and the tour setup people, because it definitely brings a different perspective to the park that can make us better. I mean, they see 30, 40 tournaments a year, and you know we only see one every few years. So to get their perspective on how they like to do things is really good. They've been they'll have someone here. They'll probably be by for a visit. I know the PGA just finished you know, last week, so they'll probably be by in about a month or so to kind of walk through the course. Kerry Hayes been here a few times already, and you know, we'll go out there and we'll walk all 18 holes, and he'll give his opinions on certain things. And you know, we were told that they're not really too concerned about trying to make the course any tougher for the PGA Championship. I mean, I think they thought it was hard enough. It's sort of hard enough as it is. So outside of some, you know, maybe some, you know, we might be doing some, when we do bunker work, we'll get their approval. We had a slight tweak on the bunkers on 8, where we're moving things, you know, 2 or 3 feet. It's not like we're doing these major redesigns or anything, but you know, they have their ideas, and they come out here, and I think when they're a little more hands off, the USGA was a little more involved with you know, they were here a lot. The USGA people were here like once a month for like 2 years ahead of time. The PGA people seem to be a little less involved. I mean, we keep in touch with them. I do keep in touch with those guys by email just to give them some status updates and where we're at. But yeah, they haven't really influenced us too much yet with you know, heights of cut or green speed or anything like that. Yeah, we haven't got into those discussions yet.
Well, I also think they probably know that, you know, under your care and the guys that you guys have there, that it's in good hands. So I don't know, so they're not probably either need to be too worried about it anyway. But let me take a short break. I want to get to some of the initiatives that you've got going on there, and I know that you have to run this morning, but we'll be quick. I just wanted to take one more break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
At Winfield United, we understand the challenges you face and the goals you have. We promise to do our best and to help you do yours. With the introduction of tools like the Geotech Insight platform and products like Droplex Extra, we are advancing the industry to new levels, allowing you to manage your time and budget more efficiently. Visit WinfieldUnitedPro.com to find a representative near you today. Winfield United, a proud sponsor of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association.
To On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, and he's Steve across the...
Somebody. You're somebody.
I'm somebody.
You're somebody, I'm somebody. We're all
trying to be somebody.
We're all people here.
And on the line is Andrew Wilson, the Director of Agronomy at Bethpage State Park. Andrew, I want to talk about the initiatives. You know, people don't realize, I mean, most golfers, they're sort of, you know, have that tunnel vision when they're going to play golf. They just want to play golf, and they don't realize that what you have there in that property and that Bethpage State Park is more than just in a collection of golf courses. I was just reading, just going on your Twitter feed and just looking at all the different things that, you know, hosting classes, and you have ecologists there, and you're building field satellites, which I have no idea, you know, that was something that was, I found interesting. But then, like, when I was reading about how a guy was putting up a bioacoustic recorder, because between the green and the black, you have nine different variations of bats. Like, that's just the animals. We're not even talking about the flora and the fauna part of it. But, you know, talk about all these initiatives that you have going on there. And, you know, to me, you know, most people would just be, I think, would be very surprised at how much more there is to Bethpage State Park than just golf courses.
Right. Well, I would say, you know, when I first started, I've been working at Bethpage almost 25 years, and I started in the golf maintenance side around 1997. And at the time, the park director, Dave Catalano, he had a vision of the park, as he knew the park was a natural resource. I mean, we have a 1,500-acre park in the middle of a pretty developed area of the country. I mean, it has its unique, definitely some unique ecology and property here. So some of the things we're doing now, you mentioned, so that was Dr. Gordon from Suffolk Community College. He came here with this bioacoustic bat recorder so we could see what kind of bats we have in the park. And we hosted a class from SUNY Farmingdale and Nassau Community College. They bring some of their horticulture and ecology students over. And we've been working with Cornell University. That's our biggest collaboration. We've been with Cornell for about the same amount of time, 20 years, where not only are we looking about trying to reduce our inputs in terms of pesticides and fertilizers and conserve water, but now we've also been getting into the past few years of what can we do to enhance or protect and promote wildlife in the park, and whether that's from building gardens, and a lot of golfers may see them on 12 of the green course, 4 of the black, 13 of the red, and now in our picnic area, we have a really nice one in our picnic area now, too. So we have a park horticulturalist who does an amazing job, and he has been forever, and he's kind of been doing this job in not under wraps, but we haven't been promoting it as well as we could, so that's the other reason why we started engaging with some local community groups. We have a couple of honeybee keepers who have some hives on the black course, kind of, you know, way out of play. And so we have this, like I said, we have fox, we have all these different, you know, we do have fox. We saw one deer here a couple of weeks ago, which is the first time we ever saw a deer here. But between the fox and the ponds we have, and like I said, all the little critters, it's something we want to promote. And it's something that it's, you know, especially, you know, like I said, 1,500-acre park in the middle of Long Island. I'm sure for the people who play here, you know, if I go to the train station, there's always people with their clubs coming from Manhattan. So it's some unique, it's just some cool stuff that we need to protect and promote what we're doing over here. I think most golfers probably see hawks during the day. There's a lot of hawks flying around here, and that's something that's kind of cool. So, it's just one of those initiatives that we're trying to promote what we have and what we can offer. And even today we're doing a little thing. We were awarded $5,000 from Bayer Crop Science. They have this Feed a Bee program. So at 10:30 in the picnic area, they're going to be here, and we have our beekeepers here, and they're going to be kind of going over why bees are important pollinators and what plants we're using to attract these insects and pollinators. And a lot of these plants are available at your local stores. So we're just trying to kind of. I saw the buzzwords, and I kind of like the community education and recreation, and that's something that I like. And I like when I hear the phrase that when I hear that phrase, and I hear the People's Country Club. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to give people somewhere where they can come and relax and maybe learn something. I know the golfers, like you said, have tunnel vision, and that's fine. So maybe they see some of our displays in the clubhouse when they're finished playing, and they take a look, and maybe they see something out there while they're playing, and it'll help them enjoy their round.
Andrew, I'm not trying to make a political statement or anything like that about the environment and the climate and all that stuff, but I think there's one thing that we all can agree on, and that is that grass needs water to survive. And I mm-hmm. think the other thing we can agree on is that fresh water is not an endless supply. And I'm wondering, how is it with such a vast area, not just the five golf courses, but like you said, just the sheer acreage that you have to deal with, how do you reconcile the issue that you need to keep the park in viable condition while at the same time understanding the conservation issues with water?
Right. That's something where it definitely weighs on your mind. I mean, I've been telling the guys, say on the other courses, now the black course is kind of held to a different standard. On the other courses, if we can kind of let the rough go a little bit in this time of year in July and August, water it just barely enough to keep it alive, but for one, especially tee to fairway, it's probably better. I mean, if you're hitting a worm burner, we really don't need the grass to be lush and green. If someone can get a bounce and reach the fairway by then, it's probably helping us.
That gets me out, so okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's probably helping everybody. But, we have about 60% of the water we use is actually from, there's an old capped landfill. You can kind of see it every once in a while. If you play the black course, there's a fire academy, so every once in a while you see the smoke coming from the fire academy. And beyond that, there's a capped landfill in Old Bethpage, and we have a charging basin, so it's all reclaimed water. So they treat the water, and then we can use that for irrigation. So, there was talk of doing a similar project, I think, with Bethpage Water District. It's kind of in very, very preliminary stages, but they had approached us if we could use some of the water, and if we can use recharged water or reclaimed water, that's fine by us. It's all about, and sometimes you may see the golfers might see us out there. They'll see the guys using these little, they're about 2 or 3 feet high, and they'll these soil probes, basically, and they're moisture meters. So the guys are out there checking the greens or the fairways, and like I said, we're trying to use as little water as possible when we're out there because, firmer conditions are better conditions, and firmer conditions or drier conditions also lead to less disease. So that's part of it, too. So if we can keep the place a little firm and dry, that is our goal. But, the touch brown, I don't know if we'll ever get, crazy brown. We're not in that sort of environment where we can be like maybe some of the courses on the tip of the island or in Oregon or anything like that where they have the climate where they can probably let them get a little browner.
Right.
We don't have that type of grass here with all the poa we have here. But it's something that we take fairly seriously, trying to do the right thing environmentally as well.
Well, yeah, you bring up a good point. People don't, I'm all for fast and firm conditions, but people don't realize that there's, sometimes you just don't have the climate for that kind of thing. We'd like to do that, and we'd like to be like, abandoned dunes, but, we have very, specific, conditions here, and it's not for, play the hand that you're dealt with, and that's just the way it goes. Andrew, I know you have to run, and I just want to thank you. I know you got a lot going on over there, but always fun to talk about the birds and the bees with you and the rest of the what goes on beyond the just the golf courses and with all the wonderful initiatives that you're going there, and I'm happy to help you promote them on the show. And anytime you have something and want to talk about something, please feel free to let me know.
Great. Thank you very much. And Yeah, just hope people come out to play at Bethpage. And I also wanted to wish all the guys at Glen Oaks, you know, Craig and the crew over there worked their tails off, and the place looks great. So I hope everyone has a fun time over at the Northern Trust.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining me this morning, and look forward to having you again on soon.
Sure, anytime.
All right, that was Andrew Wilson, Director of Agronomy at Bethpage State Park. We're going to take a short 30-second break to wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Welcome back. I'm Anthony. He's Steve. Got that right this time. Steve, probably one of the most fascinating weekends of the year when you talk about the USAM, Solheim Cup, the Wyndham, where guys like...
It's the last week of the regular season of the PGA.
Last week of the regular... You have guys like Graham McDowell, who are now on the outside looking in. He'll probably have conditional status, but still, some big names.
Yep.
You know, Jeff Ogilvy...
These are former major champions that are not going to have full status on the PGA Tour next
Jeff
year.
Jeff Ogilvy had to birdie five of 6 holes on the back nine to make the cut. That he basically it was insane.
Yeah.
A fascinating confluence of events that are going on in the golf world. But I want to talk about the AM. Our resident volunteer, the energy out there. I've been to these kinds of events. You have as well. People don't appreciate it.
Look, you and I are golf junkies. We will watch two scratch golfers have a chipping contest in our backyard and be totally fascinated by that. So I get that not everybody loves the game the way we do, but in being at Bethpage for the Barclays last year, and of course being around the New York metropolitan area for not only major championships but also PGA Tour events, there are plenty of people that come to these events and watch them. And I also get the fact that most golf fans are just starstruck, star people, because when we go to even the Barclays, you'll see some guys that have 3,000 people following them. And then you'll have other groups of people where nobody's following them, and you don't realize that there's a PGA Tour event even going on,
right?
Because there's just three guys and their caddies, and that's it. And to me, that baffles me in the first place, because I get it. There's Phil Mickelson, Jordan Spieth, Tiger Woods, whatever you want, but you know why do some people like? I'll just throw a name. You know, why does Derek Fathauer not get as much respect? He's just as good a player as they are.
Yep.
He hits the ball just as well as they are. You wouldn't even, I guess, you know, some of the big name guys on TV, you recognize them. And it's the same thing with the U.S. Amateur. I don't understand why people don't want to go to the U.S. Amateur. I don't understand, because it's such a different environment there. Next year, the U.S. Amateur is going to be held at Pebble Beach. We watch the AT&T every year, and I don't know about you, but I think to myself, man, wouldn't it be so cool if I could just walk the golf course? I don't want to play it because I would feel so intimidated by playing it, but wouldn't it be great to walk the golf course? Well, you know what? If you go to the USAM next year, you can walk the golf course.
Yep.
There are no ropes.
And it won't
ropes.
Cost you $500.
That's right. There are no ropes. You could be literally right behind the players the whole time that you're watching. And it's such an intimate setting. You're never going to be obstructed by a view. You're never going to be blocked by another spectator. And look, do we have to go through the roster of players that have won this thing?
Yep.
I could think off the top of my head from last year's Ryder Cup, three people won this thing.
Yep.
Phil Mickelson, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Ryan Moore.
Yep.
They're all U.S. Amateur champions, right? Bryson DeChambeau just won the USAM 2 years ago. I mean, just run down the list. I mean, you could go as far back as Bobby Jones. I mean, that's a different era. But Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and of course, in our lifetime, the greatest amateur player of all time, Tiger Woods, he won this thing three times in a row.
Yep.
When it's almost impossible to win it once.
And like we were talking off air before, it's an, you know, it's got to be one of the most difficult amateur events to win in the world. I mean, if not the
forget
most
amateur
difficult.
Events, I yeah, think or, amateur or pro event, it's right. almost, it's the most it's the hardest one to win. But right. that's a different story. Well, all I'm saying is, next summer, if you have a chance to go to Pebble Beach and watch this thing, you will never regret it, and you will want to go watch this thing every summer. And I promise you, you will not have a bad time while you're doing it.
And it's elite talent. There's just no question about it.
I don't see how you can tell the difference. I mean, the fact that these kids are younger is the only difference between these kids and the pros.
Yeah.
Because they can compete just as well as anybody.
If you were sitting in the stands and there was a thing around the people and you didn't know who was hitting the ball, you wouldn't know in certain
Absolutely.
Cases. It's just that the quality is that good. We got to wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you, Steve, for being in studio.
My pleasure.
Always fun. Make sure you see your local PGA professional. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.